The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco, and each week our guests will give you tools, tips, and strategies to help you be more successful at work or in your entrepreneurial business. And this week, we're going to be talking about building successful and effective relationships. And we're also going to be talking about motivation and how to motivate the workforce that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Well, our first guest today has a wonderful quote. And she says, "People are attracted to individuals, businesses, or organizations that make them feel valued. Give people more value than they expect on a consistent basis, and they will be loyal, raving fans." And that's a quote by Joyce White Nelson, who is our first guest today. Now, Joyce is a chief relationship officer. Joyce guides individuals and businesses and organizations in building professional relationships that are honest and authentic with lasting benefits of joy and success. She has a background as an educational leader for public schools. She's responsible for the introduction and implementation via the Department of Public Instruction of statewide positive behavioral supports and interventions. She is responsible for the creation of a 3-year strategic plan and manual to work with school systems in a step-by-step process for change. She led 8 schools with over 500 staff and students through a 3-year change process that resulted in a positive climate, increased curriculum engagement, staff satisfaction, and work safety. She's also been recognized by the U.S. Marine Corps for recognition during her contributions during the Operation Iraqi Freedom. So, Joyce, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you, Deanne. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah, so one of the questions I just got to ask you is, what brought you into studying this whole area of relationships?
Well, and that is really an interesting question because there's a big story behind that. So really, it was personal need. You know, I had a big challenge. As a child, I was really very isolated, and I really didn't have friends. And my friends were animals, pretty much. And I really didn't know how to build relationships. So I decided that I needed to figure that out. I needed a solution. So as many people do, I left home. I left home when I was 17, and I decided that I needed to figure this out no matter what. So I wanted, what I decided to do was really just immerse myself in situations where I really wasn't comfortable. And so I did that. So I was in discussion groups. I traveled abroad. I explored diverse religions and cultures. And I lived in, a lot of variety of places in the United States and in Europe. So, and as a result of immersing myself and taking in a lot of different information, I found out about myself first, learned who I was, and then the outcome of that during that process was, I earned a lot of degrees and certifications, and then my focus became a positive focus of creating, a positive outcome. And, hey, who doesn't want that? We want positive outcomes. So I believe, you know, I made a firm belief that people really want to feel good. They don't want to walk around not feeling happy. You know, and even, Dan, the Department of Labor, their statistics even agree with that. They say that the number one reason that people stay in a job is to feel valued. They want to feel recognized. They want that more than money or a title.
I definitely believe that. Definitely believe that. You know, one of the things I thought was really interesting is that in the introduction, you know, I talked about that you were the chief relationship officer and that you focus on this return of authentic relationships, which I think you called ROAR, R-O-A-R, return on authentic relationships, which I actually think that's a pretty clever thing. But anyway, so tell us, what do you mean by authentic relationships?
Yeah. Well, you know, in business, we're always talking about the ROI, right? Return on investment. Well, you know, that quote that you read in the beginning, people in business are our hugest investment. Without people, we're not going to have any business. Right. So there are a lot of attributes of what defines sort of authentic. So like a few things from my observations and my study would be, well, an authentic person is maybe someone that's, they're not afraid to show who they are. They're out there and this is who I am. Authentic people are also very approachable. Authentic people, they're very interested in others, if you've ever noticed that. They want to know about other people. Authentic people put other people at ease. You know, they're not, they don't put them down. They make other people feel comfortable. It all sort of seems natural, you know. Authentic people know their place in the world because they know themselves. That's really why. And then they put out a purpose to fulfill that place in the world, and they make an intention to do that. So the other part of the ROAR is the return. So where now we're authentic, well, how do we get a return on that in a business sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So where is the return? Well, research is very strong in showing that CEOs or organizations that really show value to people and, you know, they have ethical practices that it leads directly to financial payoffs in those organizations. And whether you're a for-profit or a non-profit organization, the same is really true because it's all about people. You can look at companies maybe like Starbucks. When they started, then their CEO sort of left for a while, and then they came back and reinvented themselves and brought back some of their original practices and regrouped. REI, Zappos. Here locally, we have a great grocery store called Festival Foods. Just a little simple thing. They have something called the 10-tile rule in grocery stores. You know, there's tiles on the floor. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're within 10 tiles of a person, that's how you can teach these action steps. They are taught how to greet people. So everyone, if they're within 10 tiles, so it would be 10 feet of someone, they need to be greeted.
Wow.
So really it's a lot about the golden rule, you know, in business. And I found out that through my practices that a lot of people just think this authenticity is maybe charisma or, you know, sort of like some people have it and some people don't. Well, I found out that I was able to break those things down into actionable steps for people and measurable steps and teach it to them. So it is skills that can be taught.
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, I think another one is Southwest Airlines really focuses on people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and trying to value the customer. You know, you're not just a person in a seat, but you're a real person.
Yeah, when you think about it,
I think
really
they built their company on that whole rule.
Yeah, not just the customer either. You know, it's
the
employees,
as well.
It's the suppliers, it's the vendors, it's the colleagues, it's really everything. Because everything is made up of people.
So you know, you made a mention that there are some steps in that you teach people in building great relationships. Could you share a couple of those steps with us?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think the first thing, which I did kind of allude to before, is we have to know ourselves. So you want to know what your own personal and professional beliefs are. So I'm going to tell you a couple of mine. So I firmly believe in a collaborative environment to learn and grow with and for each other is my sort of motto. Mm-hmm. I really firmly believe that it's important to express appreciation first, not criticism. You know, we get what we're looking for. If we look for the good and if mm-hmm. we're thankful for things, then that's what's going to return to us. And then I really also believe that everyone has a really positive value beyond what I can see. So that leaves me with a sense of wonder. Stuff is going to happen, right? Sometimes bad stuff happens to good people, so to speak, you know, or situations are kind of prickly. Well, if you pause and just think, well, what good could come out of this if we take that positive beyond what our first understanding is? And then I also believe in really authentic and transparent communication, which, you know, can be honest and sort of laying the cards on the table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that leads right into that quote that you gave in the beginning. So those are the basic principles. And then there are some action steps, which if we might get into those action steps. But those are the basic principles that start with us in having great relationships. It's a mindset, and we have to know what we believe about it. Because if you don't want it, if you don't care about it, then it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah, well, I truly believe that. You know, and we talk about communication all the time. You know, I can't change you. The only person I can change is myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to know me first when interacting with somebody, because a sign of an effective communicator is someone who can be effective when communicating with somebody else. And the only way to do that is to know about myself, which is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
You know, you have to know yourself first.
Being authentic, you know, if these things that I named before, how will we know if we are? Well, it's going to start being reciprocated. And
yeah.
we're going to attract certain people back. And that will be the answer that we really are. Like you said about communicating, well, if the audience is understanding or if they're asking a lot of questions, then we know that, you know, we're getting to them. If it's kind of blank out there, they don't know what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't yeah. communicated. We haven't met our purpose.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges with being an authentic, building authentic relationships?
Yeah, and being successful at that. Well, I'm going to give a couple of the three right today of some top ones that come up really often with people.
So, okay, we have about 2 minutes before we need to take a break, so I'll just give you a heads up here. Go ahead.
Okay. Many people, like, they misunderstand that they think of building relationships as just meeting someone, like a task that you check off on a sheet. Okay, I gave 5 people my business cards today. That's a task. That's not building relationships. It's really a process. So there's a misunderstanding that it's a process, not a task. Another challenge for people is this inner thing, not knowing their purpose or their intended outcome. So they don't know the reason why they're doing something. So they haven't found out what their own values are, or they haven't decided on a target. Let's say they were going to a meeting or meeting a new employee. What is their reason for that conversation? So they don't have that target. And the third thing is letting go. It's a very challenge for some people to let go of their own self-promotion or their own need. The opposite of that, the self-promotion is kind of obvious, but the other side of that is some people don't know how to receive. They can't accept back from people, so they sort of push people away because they can't accept that kindness back. Oh, no, you didn't have to do that, you know, instead of just accepting it. So those are just 3 challenges. There's more, but we'll talk about those 3.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can really relate to that, especially I think women have a problem with when someone gives them a compliment just saying, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a problem with that. You know, we do have to take a quick break here. We come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how do you deal with some of those challenges. So this is Deanne DeMarco at Today's Inspiring Women. We are talking to Joyce White Nelson, who is the Chief Relationship Officer, and we'll be right back.
It It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E @deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco at Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got Joyce White Nelson on the line, who is the Chief Relationship Officer. And Joyce, just before break, we were talking about some of the challenges in being successful in your business relationships. And one of the questions that kind of came to mind was, you know, those difficult people in our lives, like a difficult boss or difficult co-workers, you know, what are some of the steps a person can take when you have to deal with these kind of people, and how do you build a successful relationship with them?
Right, and they're going to be there, you know, and it's going to happen, sort of like the thorns on a rose, right? And, yeah. And like I said before, you know, we want to take a pause and have the mindset of think what good can come out of this. You know, so if we have that mindset, but beyond that, then what our action steps are that we can do is we want to look for common ground. We want to look for common maybe interests, look for other things. Where do they live? Where did they go to school? Maybe find some way to be helpful. Maybe be interested, know something about their family. We want to caution ourselves not to be offering advice before we're asked. It's a caution. So we're looking for common ground because what we want to do is build rapport. So you can do that in a conversation. You can build rapport. But there's some very other subtle ways that you can do that with your body language, and it's called mirroring. So you want to sort of modulate. You can choose to modulate your voice like theirs. If they speak rapidly, you might speak more rapidly. If they speak slowly, then slow that down. You can even, like if someone's crossing their legs when they're talking to you, you can cross your legs. You don't do it. You have to be very subtle. You don't want to be looking like you're a copycat. But if you do this, it's called mirroring. If you do that, the subconscious of that other person will say, they're kind of like me. You know, and just what people want people to be like them, just like people like to hear their name, they want people to be like them. And it sends a positive message. And it sends the message that we're interested in them, you know, but it's an unspoken body language. So that's one of the little things I teach about building rapport.
But one of the things I also heard you say is that by finding out what the common ground is and the interests and being helpful, it's interacting with the person rather than saying, well, that person is a difficult person, so I'm going to ignore them. So it's actually making the steps to go forward and go talk to them.
Right. If we kind of think of every person as a pie, you know, 100% of them can't be negative. There has to be something there that is a common interest. Maybe their child is, you know, going to a college or hit a home run or is in a sport, you know, so maybe we'd talk about that, not about something at work, you know, and I heard, you know, John got this. And then they think, oh, they care more about me than just this. You know, they do care about this other part of my life.
You know, another question that kind of just begs the question here is, you know, in the workplace, men and women communicate differently. Is there any tips on how do women build relationships at work without it coming on as harassment?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a whole segment on this, so I have actually a whole list of what I call contrasts between men and women. But we want to remember, you know, whenever we talk about this, that, you know what? Men are perfectly right to be more direct, while women are perfectly right to be more people-oriented. You know, it's just a function, and even in the workplace. But that creates really a balance. So if we appreciate those things about people that are different, women are kind of more naturally nurturers, and this quality is good. It can enhance situations, and men are naturally more sort of like providers. They're more task-oriented, and they want to get the job done. Not to say that each gender doesn't have some of the other, right? Mm-hmm. But if we want to look at this as these two styles as a complementary, and I just want to pick out two contrasts here that I talked about today. I talked about in building relationships, we need to ask. I'm going to talk about one. We have to ask questions. Well, men aren't the strongest there always in asking all the questions. You know, they might not tend to naturally build that rapport that I've been talking about. But even if they do ask the questions, it's usually just target, get some information, right? Where a woman might ask a question more frequently, but for a couple purposes. They want to get information, but they also want to cultivate a relationship. So here's an example, like a woman might say something like, oh, so you're back from vacation. Now, a man might not bother with that because he'd say, yeah, it's obvious. They're back from vacation. Why do I need to spend time saying that, right? So, but these are some of the skills that can be taught to bring that in because that shows value, that leads into conversation, that builds rapport. You know, so that's just one of the things, a contrast. But we want to just value those things and build. Not even look at them as strengths and weaknesses. They're just differences.
Mm-hmm. You know, we hear a lot about networking, and I know you have a book coming out around the being the perfect networker. Is networking something that people need to do in both the corporate environment? I know entrepreneurs need to network to help build a client base. But what about in the corporate environment? Do people in the corporate environment need to network too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is sort of a given. Entrepreneurs, they need, you know, they're the decision maker. They need to collect their sphere of people around them, you know, to help them run their business. So they have to ask a lot of questions and network and then also build the clientele, but also their business partners and the people that they're with. So that is sort of a given. Now, in the corporate setting, a manager, an executive, the principles still apply. You have a degree, depending where you are, you have some degree of responsibility or authority for staff and decision-making, but you usually have to answer to someone else, a manager, director, vice president, CEO, or board of directors. But it's an internal networking rather than an external networking more often. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So you're networking within the corporate environment. If we use networking, meaning building relationships, networking, remember, is not a task. It's not handing a business card out. It's not how many people you know. It's how many people you've built those relationships with. So in the corporate environment, the people are going to come and go, but usually the positions stay there. So we need to renew those relationships or make relationships with the new people that come into those positions. And, you know, so we're always in a cycle of networking or building relationships in the corporate environment, too. And, you know, we want to find the ones that are mutually beneficial, that are reciprocal, that we can work with, you know, work back and forth. You know, even it's, you know, in entrepreneurs might call it referral partners.
Sure.
You know, but in corporate world, we need to have partners too. You know, and we can build that. We can build those relationships because things can happen certainly in the corporate world if we don't do that.
Yeah, that can be really true as well. You know, so what is a little bit about, tell us a little bit about your book, The Perfect Networker. What's that all about?
Well, a perfect networker is, I was involved a few years ago. It was actually a social media networking site called The Perfect Networker. And it was a blend between what we know now as Facebook and LinkedIn. So if you took the best of both worlds, and I was like a live, real person that would meet people just like you would in a room of people and read their profiles and group them together and put them in a thread so they could talk to each other, and I was sort of a moderator for that. So I was a connector of people. So imagine if you went on LinkedIn and you actually had a real person greet you and say, hey, I know who you should meet. Come on over here. Get in this group and go and introduce them and tell them the attributes to the group and say, hey, you guys talk a while. And then you leave and you come back and say, how's it going? And tell a little bit more about them. Well, I did that for 3 years. And then the man named Ken Roshan, who is the primary author of the book, invited me to contribute to that book, Becoming a Perfect Networker, succeeding one connection at a time. And there's just tons of jewels in the chapters. It's a chapter book, and there's like 14 chapters, plus sort of the Ten Commandments kind of thing of networking, but a lot of dialogue about how to, how not to, and the whys, and what happens. So there's a lot in that book.
Sounds like that's going to be a really good book. You know, so tell us a little bit about your company and the services you provide, and how do people get hold of you, and how do people get hold of this book when it comes out?
Well, the book is out, so it's going to be easy to get a hold of. So I'll tell you all those things. My company is Joyce Ventures, and we do public speaking workshops. I love doing live workshops. I have personal coaching, professional coaching, free consultations. I do webinars and teleseminars, and I invite in guests also for those. And, you know, if you're a person that maybe feels frustrated with, you know, you don't have time for your family, you're kind of going crazy working, you know, in your business all the time and not enough time, or maybe you're a person that thinks that networking is a waste of time, you don't have any returns on it. Or we talked about the corporate world. There's maybe a lot of sabotage going on, maybe in your business or in your office setting, and you just can't figure it out. Or maybe your advertising costs are through the roof, you know, and you're kind of bleeding to death as a business. Well, that's what we help with, because we work with people and entrepreneurs and executives and helping them with systems and practices that works with building relationships, but that have measurable results. We teach people how to measure those returns on those strategies that they implement. And, you know, that really affects the bottom line. Now, the book, The Perfect Networker, I'm offering for your audience here, for people that you can come to my website, which is joyceventures.com. And on the website, you can just go there to joyceventures.com consulting and order some free consulting, sign up for some free consulting time. And I would suggest to do that first, and let's have a chat. If they would like to go to the shop, they can just buy the book at the shop. Or if they'd like to get the book for free, I'm offering 5 free books for people that sign up for my discounted bundle of 6 consulting sessions. So,
okay,
or if somebody
like a really
did a workshop
plan
or something like that, we'd work that out. So,
okay, and the way they get that information is to go to joyceventures.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that's JoyceVenturez.
.com. Yes, .com. Ma'am.
All right. Well, Joyce, our time is up. We need to go to a break here. I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, Deanne, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about motivation, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about motivation. As a leader or a manager, one of the things that you need to do is to motivate your team. And I know in my management classes, I'm always asked, how do I motivate the people that work for me? And so that's what I want to talk about in this segment just a little bit. So first of all, what is motivation? Motivation is that internal force through which a person's interests and efforts are energized. Motivation is that you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's that secret, hidden energy that people have in doing work. So motivation is one of those topics that is actually very complex in trying to understand all the different aspects of motivation. Where did this all begin? Actually, there's a guy by the name of Abraham Maslow that first looked at this whole world of motivation. And he actually came up with that there was a hierarchy in order of how people got motivated. If people didn't have a roof over their head, or they didn't have food, or they didn't feel safe, then they were motivated to try and get those things first, and then they moved on up the ladder of needs based upon satisfying one level of motivational needs after another. And Maslow first talked that there were the motivators were the things that people really want to work hard to accomplish, but there are also satisfiers, and those satisfiers were those things that people would, if you had a correct satisfier, you wouldn't complain about certain things. And he talked about that there were basically two types of motivation. Extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation are the two types of motivation. That extrinsic motivation are like the carrots and the sticks, the rewards and the punishments. And the intrinsic motivation is that internal drive where you want to do something. And that, so you talked about that with both extrinsic as well as intrinsic motivators. You would be looking at maybe a positive or a negative in both of those different areas. Let me just give you some examples. So like with extrinsic motivation, you know, here in the U.S., we have to do taxes. And it's always due on April 15th of every year. And people really hate doing their taxes. But nonetheless, so an extrinsic motivator to get your taxes done might be, well, if I get my taxes done, I'm going to get a refund. So let me quickly get my taxes done. So that would be an external positive way of looking at an extrinsic motivator. On the same token, an intrinsic one would, well, if I get my taxes done, I'll feel good and it'll be finished and I'll feel good about myself that I got it done. So those would both be different types of positive ways, extrinsically and intrinsically, about getting your taxes done. So let's take a look at the negative. So the negative side, an extrinsic one will be, well, if I don't get my taxes done, I'm going to get penalties and interest, and then I'll have to pay more money. So therefore, I probably get it done. So you're going to try to avoid a consequence. So therefore, you get it done. It's extrinsic because it's actual money. On the intrinsic side, the negative one be, well, if I don't get it done, I'm going to have more stress, and I'm going to feel like there's a heavy burden on my shoulders because I haven't gotten it done. And it may be like looming over my head that may interfere with me really enjoying some of the things around life. So therefore, maybe I should get it done. So both looking at the extrinsic carrots and sticks, rewards and punishments, or the intrinsic, the internal pieces of where you want to do it, can be seen as positive or negative. You know, so one of the questions that people ask is, you know, don't carrots and sticks work at work? You know, the rewards and punishment stuff. And depending on what generation you are, some of us were actually raised in that carrots and sticks type of atmosphere. And I got to tell you, work, carrots and sticks, that extrinsic form of motivating people to do good work doesn't work. And I also need to tell you that rewards really don't work either. And there's a real mismatch from what the research is showing us to what people and managers and leaders are doing in business. And I'm not just talking about corporate America. I'm talking about all the entrepreneurial relationships as well. And I just want to give you a little shocking statistic here. The Gallup poll did a study on employee engagement, and what they discovered is that 29% of the workforce is actively engaged in doing their work. 54% are not engaged in doing their work, and 17% are actively disengaged in doing their work. So for those of us who are managers and leaders, that means 71% of your workforce is either not engaged or actively disengaged in doing work. No wonder we don't get things done at work. And when you couple that with knowing that the research is showing that carrots and sticks, by threatening people, if they don't get their work done, they're going to get on performance improvement plans or they can possibly lose their job, that those things don't really work and change behavior. You know, no wonder, you know, in all my management classes, I have managers scratching their heads saying, okay, so what can I do? What are the things that I can do to really motivate my workforce so they're more engaged in getting work done? In other words, they want to get the work done. You know, and I think one of the things that we need to really look at was we need to tap into the three levels of motivational commitment. And those three levels of motivational commitment are identity, proficiency, and purpose. And those three areas can help give us some guidance on what we can do as managers and leaders to help motivate our workforce. So let me just talk a little bit about those three levels just a little bit, and let me dive into what are some actual tips and strategies that you can use in motivating your workforce. So the three levels of motivational commitment, the first one is identity. That's where you're that's that whole piece of being self-reliant. That's that piece about being committed in your mind, where you are in alignment with maybe a worthwhile cause, or maybe you are in alignment with a good idea or a vision for a better, maybe a better life, maybe a better process for doing things, maybe a better ideal, a better way of doing things. So it's that first step is that identity piece, is the first level of motivational commitment. The second one is proficiency, and the proficiency piece is the ability to master some skill or some objective or some task, being able to be productive in doing something, a belief that if you could be, you could do something well, that you will then be able to have some sort of desirable outcomes of some sort. So that's that proficiency piece, that you want to be good at something. And then the third one is purpose. And that purpose is the why we do things. It's the significance that we put towards doing a task. Maybe it's that commitment to some sort of higher purpose of why it's attaining that significance around something, that we see something as being worthwhile. So I'm just not going to do something because I'm being told to do something, but I see that it's a worthwhile reason why I should do something. So those are the three major levels of motivational commitment, is around identity, proficiency, and purpose. And we got to take a quick break here. When I come back, I want to talk about what's wrong with rewards and some of those negative consequences. And then I want to give you some concrete steps, some concrete tips on what you can do to help motivate your workforce, whether it be one person or a group of people that you lead or manage. So this is Deanna Marco, today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information, or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's DEANNE@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to today's inspiring women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking about motivation, that internal force through which a person's interests and efforts are energized, directed, and sustained. And we talked about, just before a break, we talked about some of the three levels of a motivational commitment. We talked about just what is motivation and gave you a little bit of history around the motivational piece as well. So one of the questions that ask is, so what is wrong with carrots and sticks and using rewards or punishments in the workplace? And why doesn't that work? So one of the things you need to understand is that rewards and punishments really don't work. And they don't, what ends up happening is it doesn't really result in a positive attitude change with the person who is receiving either the reward or the punishment. And I'm going to take it from the rewards piece first. I think the punishment piece is pretty obvious. But from the rewards piece, people think, well, if I give you this reward for doing good work, you're going to feel better about the work you do. You're going to feel better about me being your boss. And the bottom line is, research is not panning that out to be true. The other thing is that with rewards, a lot of times you must keep that reward up. And sometimes you must actually escalate that reward to something bigger in order to maintain compliance. I know when I was a manager, when we first put in these reward systems, we would give people $100 gift cards, thinking that would be a really kind of cool thing if they had achieved some sort of result on time. What ended up happening is that people were expecting these $100 reward cards all the time. And if they didn't get their $100 reward card, dag nabbit, if we didn't see production slip a little bit. And that was not what it was intended for. And then we would hear things in people just talking in the hallways about, they could have given us a $150 gift certificate instead of $100. It's like they were not really happy with the gift certificate they had received. So people were looking for something bigger and greater. So the other thing that the research is actually panning out, and I've actually experienced it myself, was that rewards can lead to lower levels of performance. It doesn't lead to higher levels of performance. It can actually lead to lower levels of performance. And it can reduce creativity and innovation. And it may negatively affect the relationships between the employee and the provider of the reward. So these are just things that really, really took me back. I do need to tell you that there are some areas where rewards can work. And what I have found is that if the task is some sort of task with a clear set of defined goals or outcomes, that might work. For example, if you make 25 widgets a day, you're going to get $10. If you make 50 widgets a day, you're going to get $30 or $40, and that type of thing. So if it's a clear set of defined goals, then those rewards work. And in a lot of sales organizations, the salesmen, if they sell X amount of dollars of a product, then they get X amount of dollars of reward. So it's a really clear set defined based upon how much productivity they had. That reward is then comparable. But the first time you have any kind of task that requires any cognitive type of thinking, any type of cognitive process, the reward, in fact, is not make a difference as far as what that outcome is going to be, which has been really an interesting finding in a lot of the motivational research and a lot of the research that I've done as well. I've been doing a lot of research in the area of motivation, especially around the generational issues. And I want to talk about some of those things that you can do to develop more of that internal drive for motivation. So get a pencil and paper. Here we go. One of them is that respect needs to be mutual. Don't expect respect to be automatic. You need to have mutual respect. Setting clear, crystal clear goals, crystal clear standards for performance. Using SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, which stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, trackable, or time-bound. So using SMART goals. Having goals that are worth achieving. In other words, just don't give somebody busy work. Make it be a goal that is worth achieving. Empower people to make decisions. Get people involved in the decision-making and problem-solving process. So those rewards need to be based on achieving actual, really specific, clear outlined on goals if you're going to have any. Some other ones that I've uncovered in my research is skill variety. People really enjoy having the opportunity to learn different skills, more challenging jobs, recognition, being fair, and that includes fair in pay as well. Don't have one person make less just because of, you know, whatever gender or whatever. So make sure that you're being fair. Same thing in being fair in giving out assignments. Personal development opportunities is also seen as being a motivator. Ask your employees what motivates them. Is there anything that they are looking forward to doing on the job? Is there any growth that they would like to make? One of the things we're seeing a lot is greater responsibility is a great way of motivating people. And one of the tools managers have at their disposal is a tool of delegation. So being able to delegate effectively. So these are just some really clear, crystal clear examples for you on how to motivate others. So, you know, our time is just about wrapped up. I mean, it really flies. Just want to talk to you real quick about today's Inspiring Women. You know, each week we try and bring you tools and tips and strategies to help you with your success at work and in your entrepreneurial business. And every week I try to end with a quote and an action for you. And the quote that I have for you today is actually by an actress and comedian, Lily Tomlin. And she says, "The road to success is always under construction." And I love that because that's really true. So your action for you for this week is to look at an area where you already are successful and see what else can you do to improve on that success. Anyway, tell others about today's Inspiring Women. If you know of anyone else who could use tools and tips and strategies for success, tell them about the show. Email me if there's any particular topics you'd like to learn more about or any particular guests that you would like to see on the show. Anyway, this is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.